Welcome to the E-Commerce Momentum Podcast, where we focus on the people, the products, and the process of e-commerce selling today. Here's your host, Stephen Peterson.
Welcome back to the E-Commerce Momentum Podcast. This is episode 118, Rob Anderson. Rob Anderson, a.k.a. Dollar Moves. If you don't know who that is, you're missing out. Rob Anderson has almost 10,000 subscribers on YouTube. He's getting ready to hit 1 million downloads. I mean, just imagine that, 1 million views of his videos combined, 230 videos, just incredible. Has dollarmoves.com. In this segment, we're going to talk about Rob's past. And what's really interesting to me is, the service business that Rob and his brother took over and the reasons that they took it over, and then what happened during the recession. And I think there's a lesson here. I think there's many lessons, but I love his attitude, but I love the ability to rise up out of something and make sure it doesn't happen again. And I think we all need to put that kind of control in our business. Let's get into the podcast. All right, welcome back to the E-Commerce Momentum Podcast. And man, I've got a celebrity on tonight who's got a heck of a lot more viewers than I do, but I think he's been doing it a lot longer, and I think many people will know Rob Anderson. Welcome, Rob.
Hey, Stephen. Thanks so much for having me on the show today. I'm super honored.
Well, no, I'm honored. We've been trying to connect, and your schedule and my schedule just didn't work. There was just no way. You're busier than I am, and I'm a very busy person, and you're even busier. And so you have a YouTube channel called Dollar Moves.
Correct.
Right?
Yeah.
Dollar Moves. And we're going to get into it, almost 10,000 viewers. So this is a big deal. I tell you, it's a celebrity. But I wanted to make sure I put that up there front. Dollar Moves YouTube channel, and I can't wait to get into that.
Awesome.
But before, back in the beginning, Rob, take me back. What did you do when you went to school? What were you going to be?
Wow, that's an interesting question. I don't really know that I had the idea of what I was going to be in school.
Did you have something that interested you?
My family had a business, and I always kind of thought that we would work in that business. Entrepreneurs always interested me because the business that my family had, it was in the luxury RV industry. So I was around many, many rich people. These people bought these buses. They would be bummed if you called them RVs. They're luxury motor coaches, they call them, but they start at $2 million a piece. Now they used to only be like 800,000 or 500,000, but, so
only,
yeah, exactly. But for them, I mean, 2 million, can you imagine? But so I was around all these awesome entrepreneurs that had just amazing things. Like I just was in contact with one that, to give you kind of a perspective, who is, he's a previous customer of ours, that he owns 38 McDonald's in Las Vegas, just in Las Vegas. So that's the type of customers that we had. So I had all these different people I was around growing up and seeing this, and I was like, I definitely want to have my own business in some way. I want to be like these people that can do what they want, go where they want, and they were respected and, you know, really made their own lifestyle. So I don't know that I had an exact, like, this is what I want to be when I grow up, but I knew that whatever it was, I wanted it to be like that lifestyle. I knew that for sure.
Did you recognize, I mean, because that's a great example, 38 McDonald's in Vegas.
In
so they
Vegas.
Are, you know, crazy. Very large franchise stores, right?
Mm-hmm.
Tons of employees, busy probably 24/7. Oh, in that town, 24/7 for sure.
Right, right.
What other type of people did you see, and were there common traits that you started to recognize?
As far as the people that were coach owners?
Yeah.
The
entrepreneur one specifically.
Sure, yeah. I would say they have great communication style. They made people, which is so funny because people go, oh, rich people are these big bad people that the media tells you about. And I'm like, man, I've met thousands of them and they're so nice. Like these people are the kind of people that take care of those around them and they make you feel important. And you could be just a nobody. You could be out, you know, the guy that's washing on your coach versus, you know, someone that's doing something super high tech. They treat everybody the same and they treat them nice. And they tend to, by the time they're done working with them, like they know you and they know your name. They tend to know your name and have some idea of what's going on in your life just super personable people. And I'll tell you, some of the nicest people, like these people would go to service centers that employ like hundreds of workers and buy everyone lunch. You know what I mean? Like the whole place. And I mean, just stuff like that. And just they're really, really good people. And they also, you know, I'll tell you, we didn't have contracts with these folks, and it was just like we would say how much we would charge. I never like had anyone stiff me or get a check that bounced or anything like that. And, you know, people that are of high integrity for the most part. Here and there, you know, it's just like you're going to meet tons of people in this world. There are good and bad. But for the most part, the people that I met were of in high integrity and just good people that, like, they like to help other people out.
Well, it sounds like skills that can transfer over into an e-commerce business very well, right?
Absolutely.
When you're dealing with, you know, vendors or wholesalers, you were a vendor in that case, mm-hmm. right? And so when they come and make their vendors feel good about doing business with them, right, that you took better care of them,
Absolutely.
Correct? You made sure that they were satisfied.
Absolutely.
Isn't that what you want in your e-commerce world? So that transfers over very, very well. I like that.
Oh, absolutely. And that's it. And when you're treated well, and I mean, that's why I try to treat people well when I go to do some retail arbitrage or whatever. I want to meet the manager. I want to the workers even, you know, treat everyone the same and make it to where they want to see you. When you walk in the store, they're like, oh, hey, it's you. Come look over here and I'll show you some extra stuff because they want to treat me better. You know what I mean? Just like I wanted to treat those customers better because they acted like they cared about me and what I was doing. So, yeah, it's a huge way to build relationships for sure, to care about people. Go figure, right?
You know, it's a perfect thing, especially to learn it at a young age.
Mm-hmm, absolutely.
To me, that's a foundational item. And so you were able to pick that up very early. So you were working in a family business, I take
mm-hmm.
it. Okay, so you got to see the highs and the lows because there are lows in any business.
Sure.
It didn't scare you away.
Right, yeah. What actually happened with that, I was sort of, because I've got your questions here and stuff, and one of the things that happened with me, like I said, it was the family business, and then actually my dad passed away. My mom had passed away when I was a young man, and so we just had dad left, and when he passed away, my brother and I had to decide, you know, do we want to take this thing and run with it or do we want to just let it go, you know? And so we took the bull by the horns and we were kind of forced into entrepreneurship. But luckily at that point, I had been running the day-to-day so dad could go play. So, you know, as far as systems and managing the guys and things like that, I was like, look, man, if you will leave us alone over here, I'll make sure everything gets done here, and you just leave us alone. And so it worked out well. When he did actually pass, I was able to at least take that part and run with it. So, yeah, fear wasn't a part of it because I knew how it all worked, you know.
What's interesting to me now, I mean, that sounds like a pretty big size operation, a lot of staff, right? That's always logistics. And employees, you know, come with problems mm-hmm. and concerns, and they have lives, and their lives sometimes cross over and interfere. You run an e-commerce business now with just you and your daughter.
Right.
You don't have that. It's so different. How? I mean, you know, now you got to answer to yourself. Right?
Right.
You can't say, "Hey, Steve, go get this done or whatever, and let me know when you're done." I mean, it's, "Hey, Rob, get up out of bed and go to work."
right.
That's hard.
Yeah.
It's hard, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, you know, I love it because I can. I'm a night guy. And so I'll get up and then I'll, like, especially in the summertime, I can hang out with my daughter during the day and then go source or do whatever I need to do in the evening time. And so for me to not have, like, because we were talking about warehouse space and stuff before the show started, you know, our shop that my brother and I had, because we took that RV industry business and built it up, and then 2008 hit, had to end up, you know, downsizing that. I'm sure we'll get into that some, but the shop that we had at that time was 7,200 square feet.
Whoa.
And so it's like this overhead. And like you said, you got employees and you have the workers' comp, and we were paying all medical and dental 100% for our employees.
Oh.
And like,
wow.
Yeah, just, you know, all these different things. And then you have insurance and, you know, garage keeper and all the stuff that goes along with having a business. And, yeah, this is a much better way to do it, I think. I like
I like you know, the stress levels, you know, and let's think about, let's use the McDonald's guy with the 38 locations. Mm-hmm. He's got huge problems. He doesn't have little problems.
Right.
Right. I mean, at that level, all he is a putting out fires, right? He's a fireman just putting out fires because he doesn't get the, you know, the good stuff's handled day to day. Everybody does. All he's dealing with are the big headaches, the big issues. Now, you get paid a lot, as you said. Mm-hmm. I mean, you can afford a, at that time, an $800,000 RV, now a $2 million RV. Mm-hmm. But looking back, is the cost worth it? Would you, and given where you're at now, knowing what you know, would you go that route, or would you? Are you more content the way you are now?
I wouldn't do it ever again.
Hmm. No way.
No, because it was also a craft, like craftsmanship. So the jobs that were there, like I still had to work in the business as well as on the business. So I'd be out there working in the shop with the guys, and then it'd be break time, and I'd go in and make the phone calls and put out the fires for the business. So I mean, it was crazy, 12-hour days. And we had that 7,200 square foot shop that had the nice big offices, but no windows. So in the wintertime, you're going to work when it's dark and you're leaving when it's dark. And then you're coming home just to go to bed to wake up and to do it all over again. And no, I wouldn't. Let me take that back. If it was a passion project that was something that I was like all in for, I would do that again. But the type of sacrifice and the lack of lifestyle that I had at the time, I wouldn't do it like that again ever. No.
Yeah.
This is way better.
Wise advice of somebody who's done it. All right, let's take a break. And when we come back, though, I want to talk about how you start over again, in essence, and start in this business. And then, Lord knows how you can get to 10,000 subscribers on YouTube. That takes a lot of work. We'll be right back. This episode is sponsored by me. Yes, I'm sponsoring my own podcast. This is the ecommercemomentum.com is actually sponsoring it. And it's because I've been able to get the new website up. Not finished by any stretch, but I had to get it up because the player is so much better. You really want to go check out the player. It lets you do so many cool things, including Clamor. And if you don't know what Clamor is, once you try it, you will love it. You can take snippets and send them to somebody else. It's very cool. But I've also added a blog page, and I have my first post up, and they're just short thoughts that I have. I wrote 19 of them when I was on vacation, just different things that I think I'm hopefully going to provoke some thought and get you thinking about really investing in your business, because I think it's time to invest in this lifestyle business, but I want you to invest in your life. And some of these things are going to be about life. Some of these things are going to be about reducing touch points, things that, you know, are on my mind, and I talk to so many people, they're on their mind too. So I think there's some benefit there. So ecommercemomentum.com, when you sign up, you will get 25, yeah, here my big sales pitch, 25 things you can outsource in your business. I think most of them will be intuitive. There's a few there you might say, huh, I might didn't even think I could do that, but you can, and I give you a list of different things, all free, and I just hope you sign up, because then you'll receive notifications when I do post a new blog post or when I have a new episode coming out. These episodes, you know, two a week plus some blog posts, I put out a lot of content. I really hope you enjoy it. Again, if you see somebody that you think is worth me interviewing, send me a note, private message me, and I'd love to talk with them. Ecommercemomentum.com is the sponsor. Take care. Pretty smart dude. Okay, so we're going to finish talking about, you know, what happened with their business. But again, I think it's that risk factor that you've got to start putting that consideration in your business. As you expand up, you've got risk. You want to minimize that risk, right? And you want to take control of it. And you can do it by making some pretty smart steps. We go into quite a few of them here. We also spend some time, quite a bit of time, talking about dollar moves and really, you know, what the goal of the program is, of his videos, and they're free, and so what you can get from it. And I think his lesson about just getting started, you know, taking that first step, if you have not taken that step, this is the time. I mean, it's not going to get better than this. Now is the time. Let's get back into the podcast. All right, we're back, and we're talking with Rob Anderson, who is Dollar Moves on YouTube, and we're going to get to that story because I'm really interested, because you built a huge audience, and I always admire – people don't realize the amount of work it takes, and so I can appreciate that.
Sure.
But you also have a very successful FBA business. It didn't start out that way, right?
Right, yeah. Actually, for us, so what happened was when I started FBA, it was out of necessity. 2008 happened, and for the first time ever – our customers, because again, when you're dealing with the ultra rich, you don't usually deal with Recession doesn't hit them. You know what I mean? They're still going to go play and do the things they want and spend the money they want, because they aren't worried about hitting mortgages or whatever. They're just, you know, $2 million for basically a toy, right? So when 2008 hit, though, for the first time ever, these people started getting scared. They quit buying coaches. We were doing the work on three of the coach companies that were around here that were making these coaches, basically. They have a Prevost shell, which is just a big bus made in Canada, and then they do up the inside, like, nicer than, like, any hotel you've probably ever been in, right? Well, two of the companies went bankrupt, like, while we're doing this in 2008.
Why is that? Let's talk about that, because I agree with you, and there was something different. Is it because the people, the ultra-rich at this point that you're dealing with, were they older or younger, or, you know, I mean, relative? Were they in their 40s, 50s, 60s, or were they in their 70s and 80s?
Every once in a while, you would see younger people. I would say mostly for the customers we were dealing with, if you were to average them out, I would say between 50 and 70, and closer to probably the 60 year old age was about what it was.
What do you put together to be the reason? Because as you said, it is different. It was different mm-hmm. this time than it has been in the past. What would you say that you noticed the differences?
Well, for the first time ever, they seem to have fear, and I had never noticed that, because, you know, kind of like when you have all the money, or you've just made a bunch of money and you've got it in your pocket, kind of the world looks a lot better. You know what I mean? And for the first time, so with them, it was always like that. It was always, they could go, you know, you can go do whatever you want when you got a pocket full of money. And for some reason, when that was happening, you know, we had the mortgage crisis going on, and banks were closing all around. That was crazy. But, you know, just all kinds of things. Everything was super unstable. And for the first time ever, we saw fear in their eyes, and they didn't know really what was going on. So that kept them, not that they didn't have the money, but they were holding on to the money. Instead of going out and blowing it on a $2 million thing, they were keeping their, you know, $1.5 million coach that they got 2 years ago and updating it for another $100,000 or whatever. You know what I mean? Just gutting it and updating it instead of buying the brand new one and things like that. A lot of that was going on. And right before the bubble happened, the RV industry, the luxury motor coach industry, there were a bunch of them popping up all over the place. So there was a glut in the marketplace, a lot of coaches. And then all of a sudden, it's like the brakes hit for, you know, kind of everybody. I don't know how it was in e-commerce at the time, but like for what we were doing and for the RV industry in general, because I live in Oregon, like everyone was closing down around here. Like all these
I think you're right, though. I think it's the banks. I think that's probably the biggest thing, because you haven't seen a run on banks since the Depression.
Right.
And so all of a sudden, these people didn't experience their credit, right? And I'm sure they finance all this stuff, even though they have the cash. Sure. But it's just the way they do world. And now all of a sudden, that stuff gets pulled in, and it's like, whoa. You know.
Yeah.
So I think that, you know, I was trying to get it to understand, as we grow our e-commerce business, you know, what could you do different to prevent that? Was there anybody who, you know, the guy whose business is built on cash, was he able to ride out those things? And I'm interested in that as we look out there today, because there's some uncertainty. I know the economy is doing fairly well, but, you know, there's some retail brick and mortar stores getting ready to shut.
Sure.
I mean, there's a couple chains that are probably going to be gone, you know, within the next 6 months. And so what happens, you know, as you start thinking about those things, and how do you protect your business? Does that make you more reserved about the way you approach your business?
Well, that's one of the reasons why I have my business as, you know, from my house. I haven't gone out, because like I said, I've done the thing where I've had the warehouse and I've had the employees and all that. And up to this point, you know, it was like, if I can do this all from home, then that's great, because I don't have that extra overhead. I'm already living in the home, you know what I mean? And so if things went south, then that would be, you know, I don't put everything in one basket now, because like when that happened with that industry, like we had all of our money tied up in that business, and the brakes hit, and all of a sudden we're owed $30,000 from one of our companies that actually luckily ended up paying us like 2 weeks before they went BK. They just went out of business and, you know, all that stuff. And so I was like, man, if I ever have the chance or I build up another business again, I'm not going to have a business where everything is in one, all our eggs were in one basket. Then all of a sudden we're sitting there with a 7,200 square foot shop and employees can only sweep the floor so much. You know what I mean? And we're just sitting there going, you know, what are we going to do about this? And we inevitably had to actually travel down to California and find where our customers were and take care of them, you know, far away just to keep the business going. So, yeah, that's why I've done dollar moves and do other things other than just FBA even, and just, you know, doing different things in FBA, like doing shoes and doing other, you know, toys and different things like that. So it's not all just in one basket. I don't want to be in that situation ever again.
Mm-hmm. There's some sound advice. So here's from somebody who's been there, because let's face it, I think this is true. When you go into business, you generally don't put risk into the factor. You're planning, hey, I buy this. In your mind, they're all going to sell.
Right, right.
And they're all going to sell at the buy box that you bought them at, right?
Right?
Right. That's what your mind goes, sure. Right? And let's face it, the real world is different, as we all know. Mm-hmm. And lately, a lot of it is technology driven, right? How many more repricers are out there this week than last week, right? Mm-hmm. And so things like that are going to affect the market. And so planning and building that into it, I think, is a really key technique to looking long term. I mean, do you see this as a sustainable lifestyle business that you've created now? I mean, I'm sure you're not where you want to be. Of course, you want to get, you know, you want to level to where you want to level.
Right.
But do you see that?
The FBA business?
Well, no, because it could be Amazon. It could be Jet tomorrow. It could be, you know, July, something that didn't even start. I'm looking at the calendar. I just happen to see the word July. You know, it could be whatever tomorrow, the next company. You've learned a skill set that you could transfer from one to the other, correct?
Oh, absolutely, yeah.
No, that's my point, is that do you feel like you have created, you are part of a sustainable business, whether it be Amazon, FBA, whether it be whatever else?
Absolutely. I believe that this skill set is what this generation needs more than anything else, because once you have the ability to buy and sell, to see a deal and then to see a place where you can take that deal and then make the difference in between, when you get that mindset, because we were in a service business when we had the RV business. So it wasn't this whole idea of buying something for X and selling it for X plus more to, you know, Amazon didn't make any sense. It's like, where does that magical profit come from? You know what I mean? But now that I've got that figured out and I got it, it's like, I know that I can do that with anything, and it's a skill that will go with me for the rest of my life. You know?
Oh, I agree.
Yeah.
I agree. I always remember what Peter Mollier is telling me. You know, he's sells over $1 million, mm-hmm. and he's like, Steve, look, I lose my account, I can go work for somebody. Guess what? I've got a really great set of skills. I can make them a heck of a lot of money.
Absolutely.
I can get a job tomorrow. And it's like, once you realize that, and a lot of people don't realize that they have a skill set. Mm-hmm. They have the ability to negotiate, right?
Oh, yeah.
They have the ability, like you said, to work with others, to make it a win-win, right? To be able to deal, to have a conversation with somebody. Those are all – that communication stuff, that's a big deal.
It's huge. I think that everyone should just – even if nothing else, even if you make no money doing this, which I kind of feel like it'd be hard, but – like, even if that was, like, not the thing or you want to do as a hobby, the skill set that you learn from this, I mean, I literally, like, I really think it's what everyone needs to know, especially in this day and age where there is a lot of uncertainty. If you can figure out how to buy something for low and sell it for more, you know, and if the dollar goes away and you know how to trade things around, you know, I mean, I hope to goodness that it doesn't ever go away. But if you have that skill set and you know you can trade a goat for a whatever, a wheelbarrow, or what, you know what I mean? And you've got that figured out, you know, I mean, it's something that you can just take with you for the rest of your life and prosper from.
You know, it's, I've interviewed a lot of younger sellers, and, you know, we talk about college a lot, and we get into these conversations like, okay, what about your friends from college?
Mm-hmm.
Do they know what they're going to do? And almost every answer is they have no clue.
Right.
How are they doing versus how are you doing when I talk to younger guys? And, you know, and a lot of these young guys, and I say this because you're younger than I am too, but it's the skill set. They don't have the computer skill set, the issues that us older folks have, right? There's no learning curve. They instantly pick it up. They just need to know, is it this box or that box? Mm-hmm. That's all they really need to know. And they can advance so quickly. And the ones that pick it up very quickly do really well. And it's like, compared to their college friends who have not figured out, who still have student loans, who are still just running and running and trying, jumping job to job, mm-hmm. it's amazing the difference. And it's because they've settled in and they started using those skills consistently, you know, and I think that there's so much to that.
Sure.
So why start the YouTube thing? And that was because you've been doing that for a long time.
Uh-huh. Yeah. So I started it November 2011, but I didn't actually put out a real video that started things going until 2012, January. And the reason that I did that was, again, I've had the overhead. We're traveling down to California, staying at my aunt and uncle's house, working down there 10-hour days in the heat and just, you know, working so hard. We're driving from, you know, Eugene, Oregon down to Southern California 16 hours just overnight, just going straight through and then working for 10 days and coming back. And it was just – it was crazy. And I mean, it got to a point where we actually sat down a year before. So it would have been 2010. I sat down with my brother and I'm like, because he's my business partner. And I'm like, look, man, we've built up all this credit. We've never done anything with it. We don't know what the future brings, but this has always worked. If you look at the past 20 years for our family, it's always worked. Should we dip into our credit and start financing this to hopefully that this thing picks back up, you know? And so we just got to a point where we were losing money. We were going down there and people weren't ending up being there and things like that. And so we ended up getting credit, and then we started becoming like, you know, hand to mouth kind of thing. Like where's the next paycheck coming? And I remember the last like 2 years before I started FBA, it was like a churning in my stomach. Like, are we going to be able to pay the bills? Because we still have the shop back, you know, at home and everything. And so I was like, I got to find something that can hopefully supplement my income and I don't have to be stressing so much. And so I was down there and I found FBA through the Proven Amazon course, actually. I found the Proven Amazon course, Jim Cockrum. He had just opened this thing up and I'm like, this is it. Like, this is what I need to do. I had just got a tax return and I believe it was $1,800 and I was like, I'm going all in. And I could either put this in the bank and let it erode away with groceries and everything else, or I can go all in and see what I can do with myself because things weren't looking good, right?
Let me ask you something Sure. I want to interrupt you, but what was it that caught your eye? You saw the Jim Cockrum. I mean, was it his ability to give you hope?
Oh,
because I always
try
to figure that. What was it that – because Jim's a pretty persuasive guy. What was it that you saw? I mean, was it you connected with him? What was it?
Oh, it was definitely the hope because, you know, when we were going down there – now, remember, our customers are millionaires. We did workout. We would go to their houses. Like, we did one guy's coach. We were working on his coach in the hills in Vegas – overlooking the strip, and it's like we're in these mansions, you know, day to day, and out of a jet hangar the week before in Chandler, Arizona, in a private airstrip where on one side's jet hangars and on the other side of the strip is mansions and stuff, and we're sitting there just like freaking out on the inside, like happy we have work, but going, how are we going to do this, feeling hopeless around all this abundance, right? So I saw Jim's stuff and I was like, honestly, I'll tell you right now, when I always heard of making money online and all that stuff, I was like, BS. Like, can you really?
You had to be skeptical.
Can you really make money online? Like, can you really? And like, I knew I was desperate. And I'm like, you know, but I felt something different about what Jim was showing and what he was talking about. And I was like, and I needed hope. And I remember, man, I was sitting in my aunt's living room just going so nervous to do this thing, to spend this. I think it was $300 at the time. I don't remember exactly right now, but like, I'm just like, and I hit that button and all of a sudden it was like this, like something washed over me of just like I could breathe again. I was like, I've got something here that I can do. Right. And so I got the information. I started doing the Proven Amazon course. And I was like, oh my gosh. Like I said, I was in service. So I didn't know that you could go to the store and buy. And I still think a lot of people don't get this. You can go to the store, regular store, buy something and sell it online and make money. And I'm like, how can you do this? And I'm like, well, this is the thing like everyone can do. And I'm like, I want people to know about this. This is what like society needs right now, is to know that they can go out there and stand on their own 2 feet instead of being like, oh, the government isn't giving enough, and oh, you know what I mean? Like, don't rely on that.
So you wanted to
that.
Share that hope, yeah, too, yeah. Right? You, it connected with anyone, you, and you wanted to connect with other people.
Yeah.
Okay, I get that. And so you started, you know, you didn't have a fancy studio, you didn't have any of that stuff. Uh-huh. Did you have experience being on
video? Not, I mean, my dad always had video cameras, but I didn't, and you know, I do some stuff like for school plays and things like that, but never like, never, you know, face-to-face video stuff. I actually entered a contest that Glendon Cameron was having, and he's another YouTuber, in the storage unit auctions, because we were looking, trying to figure out, my brother and I both were like, how are we going to start making some other money? And he had a contest where he was giving away 10 of his books for the winner of the contest if you made a video, and his books were going for $50 a piece. And I was like, well, if I got those, I could start my FBA, like get really big on my FBA, like that, you know, that would be an extra $500 that I could make from nothing. So that was how I got started into making the videos.
Well, you have 9,831 subscribers. I'm looking.
Oh, okay.
So clearly, yeah. So clearly, you've connected. Well, yeah, right. You grew a few just in the last.
Right. I was like, hey, I don't know.
That's cool. But you clearly connected with people. What do you think? Is it because you've been through? Not to the bottom. I don't want to sound like that. But you've been through the ups and the downs. You saw the side to say, oh, if I don't earn this week, I got to figure out a hustle, a side hustle. Mm-hmm. Is that why you think you've been able to connect with so many people, or is there a hunger still out there? I mean, let me ask you this. How about I say it this way? When did you get the majority of your subscribers? You have almost 10,000 subscribers. Did you have them since 2012, or have you seen a surge in them?
It's been a steady growth. You know, I've been blessed to be able to put out information that people appreciate, and like a lot of it is very usable. I mean, it's so cool. Like people like, are out there, you know, spreading the word about it on its own. And so, like Sam Cohen talks about Dollar Moves. He used to go watch Dollar Moves, and a lot of the big names out there are like, yeah, we used to watch your stuff. Like it's just so cool. And as you know, I put out stuff that can help people, they share it. And how viral it is, it just becomes viral on its own. And then, you know, one group will see it and someone will post something, and then I'll get a bunch of views or a bunch of subscribers. And yeah, it's just grown from that. But you know,
you're going to hit 1 million views. Right? You're at 946,000 views.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Right?
Dude. That's crazy.
1 million people have seen this mug, brother.
Well, it's got to make you feel good, yeah. Because that's a little bit of a validation, because it is, you know, it's not like you want to, hey, I want to hear you doing a good job, but you want to, if you're trying to help people, mm-hmm. It's nice to know that you're actually connecting with them. I mean, that's really what it's about, because you're hoping that even if one out of 1,000 pick something up and do something with it, that's one more, yeah. Right? That's the way you got to look at this stuff, is that, you know everybody's not going to do it. Yeah,
right.
That's cool.
That's what it's about for me. And I was at CES last year and had so many people come up to me, and you could, like holding back tears, like, man, your videos helped me to take the steps to change my life. And, like, dude, that hits in a place, I'm sure you've come across that yourself. It's like that hits you in a place in your heart where you just like go, whoa, this is the purpose that I, you know, like there's a, for all the times I was sitting in a room in front of a camera talking to myself, you know, like it's making it to people, but not only are they watching it and consuming it, but they are taking action. And that's the moves part of Dollar Moves. It's like you have to take action. There's so much more out there on YouTube and everywhere now that you can listen to. And it's like you can watch all this stuff and listen to even all the best stuff, the right stuff all day long. But if you don't take action, you're not going to do anything. Nothing's going to happen.
No, I agree with that. You know, and the fact that you can get all this guidance, and you can get, I mean, now there's a point where, you know, analysis paralysis, right, where
sure.
It's too much information.
Right.
But, you know, just the fact that you can get your questions, because as you said, when you thought, you're like, hey, is this possible?
Right.
You're living proof that it's possible. You've done a lot of interviews with people. Do you know how many videos you've done?
Just about 230 right now.
No kidding.
Yeah.
That's a lot. Because it's a lot of work to edit a video. I mean, that's a lot of work.
And my videos aren't a lot of like I did a video day in May. So that was crazy. So some of those videos were actually like just turn on the cell phone and talk to it, you know. And but for the most part, like, I want to make sure the content that I give to my end user is going to be all perfect and correct. So I'm doing research and making sure whatever comes out of my mouth is going to be right for the person that's consuming it on the other end. So there's a lot of research in a lot of this stuff beforehand. And then I make sure, you know, I have bullet points that I want to hit. And then I, again, you know, I definitely mess up at times and all that. So I got to edit things and make it just right. And then, you know, make sure that I have the text and things like that maybe can help with the video. And then I watch it a couple times at the end before I edit it, 'cause I want to make sure there's no mess ups, you know, when it goes out to YouTube land. So yeah, it's a lot more work than people would really realize, for sure.
That's very cool. You know, I sit back and I think about, our pre-call that we talked about, mm-hmm. lifestyle business. And to me, I'm really on this kick that you have to make sure that you use the word life and lifestyle business. Yeah. And I think life is different for each person. So you have a daughter.
Uh-huh.
So that's pretty important in your life.
Absolutely.
Right? And so how do you – well, let's talk about your lifestyle business.
Sure.
How many hours a week are you working in the business?
Oh, probably 20.
Okay,
depending
so you're
on
20.
Like, if there's like some big sales or something like that, I might go crazy and then I might not work the next week. Like this last week, my sister and her family were here and I really haven't worked. So when I get done on this with you, I'm going to go out with my brother and work and take care of some stuff for the business, try and catch up.
So you have scaled to the point though that you don't have to send an inventory every single day, right? You've gotten to the place where you can pretty consistently project your sales and mm-hmm. and like you said, you're going to catch up,
right?
And I'm you know, are you setting weekly targets, daily targets, monthly targets?
Both. I mean, it's mostly okay. It's mostly really weekly and monthly versus
okay.
daily. Yeah,
because it can go crazy. I see people, oh man, sales are slow today, and it's like, and I see the you know, the seasoned people saying, look, don't look at it by day,
right.
Look at it by week, look at it by month.
Yeah.
Because it's going to dip. You can't control,
yeah.
you know, whether Amazon's system goes down or there's an electrical issue or weather or whatever, right?
Yeah, some days
so,
you won't sell anything. Even if you're just killing it, some days you just get that day. I haven't had one in a long time, but, like, it happens. I remember Jessica LaRue was like, yep, we just had a day with no sales. Like, what the heck? You
yeah,
know, it happens.
You know. And you start to doubt yourself because it happens to me, and I'm like, oh, my gosh,
right.
What is going on? Right, there was just an issue a couple of days ago with Amazon,
uh-huh.
and I saw people posting, like, I have no sales for the last 6 – has anybody else – and then all of a sudden everybody's like, yeah, we all are in the same boat.
Yeah.
Everybody is.
Which
there's
is nice
a glitch
about
or
the Facebook thing for sure.
Yeah, and it makes you feel a little bit – because then you start to doubt, oh, my God, I have nothing. All my inventory is no good. You know,
right.
You start to go through these crazy things.
Absolutely.
Right? So let's talk lifestyle, though. What does it? What has this lifestyle afforded you the opportunity to do that you couldn't have done back when you had the your dad could do because he was relying on you and your brother,
mm-hmm.
right? He got to that place.
Sure.
But how about you?
So one of the things that I love is that even like when my brother and I owned that business together, we still had to show up. We had to show up for the hours the employees were there. You know, we still had to be there and be a part of it. With this one, like I said, I can go crazy and work like 5 days straight or however many, whatever, and know that, you know, I can – well, for instance, the last 2 years, I went to Costa Rica for – the first year I went for 2 weeks. Last year I went for about a week and a half, and actually in a couple of weeks I'm going to be going for a week and a half as well. And I don't have to tell anybody, and what's really great about it is that the business still works in the background. All the systems and things I've put into place, the work I did previously will feed me during that time that I'm in Costa Rica. And I'll tell you, there's nothing better than doing like a 500-plus day while you're out scuba diving. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's just an amazing thing.
It makes you feel good. And it validates the hard work that you did because
yeah.
your effort equals your rewards,
absolutely.
Right? I mean, there's a direct correlation. When you're working for somebody – you don't see that, right? You
right.
get a, hey, good job, Rob, right? I'm sure that's the way it was. But now you get to actually see the fruit of your efforts.
Yeah.
And that's a very cool thing.
Another
How about,
thing I would say oh. is the fact that you don't have to – because when my dad died, he was very much a yes man to the companies that he had. And so when he died and I was put into that place of having to lead the company from that side – all of a sudden, I'm putting out everyone else's fires. They're calling me with things that have to be done right now all of a sudden because he didn't train them that you don't make it. It's not a right now thing. Like if you scheduled wrong and made it a right now thing, I mean, you're going to have to pay for it or whatever. But he had it so badly, just like, okay, I'll do whatever and bending and do whatever people wanted, that when I got into that place, it was like, it was crazy. Like I had so many people call me, tell me I had to fix all these things, all these things that really I ended up like making that much better and teaching them how to treat the business. But I don't have that anymore. I mean, I would, if I left even to go to the coast, which is only like an hour or two away from where I live, it's like, I would be like concerned, like, oh man, what if they call today? You know what I mean? And so I don't have to worry about that at all anymore. I'm not putting out anyone else's fires.
And again, you described it. You're going to be away and you're going to be able to handle things, right? It'll be an email or what have you, right? The 20 hours a week, are you working 5 days a week generally, or are you skipping, are there days that are you and your daughter's time and that's it? You just, that's it.
Yeah. I mean, it really just depends, because I'm the kind of guy who really likes to work like hard stretches, like bigger stretches, and then just have time off. You know what I mean? So I could have 2 10-hour days or whatever. I mean, it just depends on what we have for product, what's going on for sales, all that stuff, and then, you know, how hard we want to push it. And that's really what it comes down to.
So this is truly a lifestyle business. What other advice would you give for that new seller coming up, right? Because they're watching all these videos. They're watching your videos. They're listening to my podcast, and they're hearing all these people post these amazing giant numbers, not realizing that they all had to go through the pain of starting like they are, right?
Right.
What's the advice that you give people coming in? Because there are some people that are like, I got to get to a six-figure income. I got to replace a six-figure job. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I tell them, don't even try.
Right.
You won't make it.
Right.
You won't make it because you're going to kill yourself in the beginning.
Yeah.
Because you gotta go through the bumps. How about you? What do you tell people?
I think the first thing would be to just don't get into that analysis paralysis, like what you were talking about. Look it over, you know, give yourself a date, do some due diligence and decide, is this something that I can see myself doing, and will it get me to where I want to go in life, whatever that is for you. That could be, you know, just making the car payment every month and you got a car, or it could be paying your mortgage and all your bills, or, you know, more, depending on, you know, will what that business is, will it get you to where you want to go? And if you decide that it does, start taking action, and you have to just start taking action. It's scary to everybody. In the beginning, everything new is scary to everyone. This is scary to everyone. I was driving million-dollar buses and going into this scared out of my mind that I'm taping a box wrong. I'm not joking. That's why I made a video about how to tape boxes, because I'm like, well, what if this tape opens up on the way to Amazon and all my stuff goes all over the place? And I like, just do the stuff, and, you know, it's scary to everyone, and as you do things, it gets easier. All the setup in the beginning is much harder, because not much harder like than before or anything like that, but the setup of any business, the beginning is always hard. The work is front-loaded. You're going to have to set up your systems, and once you set up your systems, it's going to be much easier, and then you're just going to be finding product and replenishing and then figuring out how to grow from there. But just take action one step at a time and just do it.
I love what you said about small goals, right? So I love the idea of, hey, let's cover the car payment. I think when you break it down into simple bite-sized pieces like that, because when you think about that, right, because it's not so overwhelming. Hey, it's $200 a month.
Right.
Okay, let's find a way to make $200. Okay, that wasn't so bad. What else can we add? Well, the kid's school payment, you know, that's another $700. Okay.
Right.
And you work your way through. And eventually, if you could get to the place where you're covering all your bills and you have money, you know, 6 months put away and you're not using credit, you have built yourself a viable transition out of a full-time job if you hate your job. I you know, here I'm talking, I still have a full-time job because I like it.
Right.
You know what I mean? But those people who don't, that's the way you transition. Quitting cold turkey just doesn't – the best thing you could do is do it on your terms. And when you've got yourself into that position and you've covered – I remember a Goose, you know, they call him Goose.
Uh-huh, yeah.
One of the
he's
young
cool.
guys.
Yeah,
and,
yeah.
Yeah, he's just great. But the way he proved to his wife that he could do it, you know what I mean? He set a goal and he did it. Now he's just killing it, killing all of us combined.
He's
right?
awesome, yeah.
But it's just so cool the way his relationship, that relationship is so much stronger because of the way he did it. And I just think that that's such a powerful message. And I would tell anybody new, to think that out, to think that through before they just make the jump.
Another thing I would say, too, is let your business pay for itself. So if you want things like for your business, different products, but your business can't afford it yet, like I'm talking a scanner or a whatever, then let your business build up to be able to pay for that thing and let it continue to grow that way. You know, I see a lot of people, I really think it's this, you know, so many people are so showing numbers that are so much bigger than when I first started. You know, there were people showing numbers back in the day, but they were much smaller than what's being shown now. And I think there's a lot of people getting out there, getting started, and they're using credit and credit cards, and they don't know how to buy and sell, and they're buying a ton of stuff, and then they're stuck with inventory that, you know, then they're blaming Amazon for, you know, Amazon came in and killed the price, or, you know, everyone's racing to the bottom, and it's like, you know, you got yourself into that by not being ready for it and using credit in the beginning. I'm not saying credit's bad. If you know how to do it, credit can help you to scale your business. But don't just jump in with a fresh credit card and no experience and try and you know, master FBA.
You know, I noticed that I'm not seeing as many people. I think people are starting to understand there are lots of ways to buy inventory. Mm-hmm. And they're starting to say, hey, you mean Zulily is going to sell shoes below 50%? Yes.
Right.
And so think about that brick and mortar wholesale on the corner. He paid 50%. You know, if the shoe's selling for $100, he paid $50 probably and paid shipping to get it to him.
Right.
Now Zulily is selling, you know, there's only three pairs of that size or whatever, but now all of a sudden it's going for 30%. And so you start to think to yourself, wait a second, that means that inventory can be bought cheaper. I think people are finally starting to get that. You know, I don't see as many people saying there's no way he can buy it cheaper than me. I used to see that a lot. You know, I bought this. I know nobody can get it cheaper than me. And you're all, and any of us who's been doing this for a long time saying, no, you don't. There's somebody getting it cheaper than you.
Right.
Everybody gets it cheaper than somebody else, right?
Absolutely.
Have you experienced the same thing?
Oh, yeah. And I mean, you know, it's funny because when you talk about that, one thing that kind of reminds me, Chris Green's one of my mentors from, he was part of the Proven Amazon course back in the day. So I've been following him forever, you know, from FBA Power, right? And he was like, you know, you never know what other people bought their stuff for. You know what I mean? Like it could be stolen. And you're never going to be able to compete against someone like, hopefully it's not, but you're never going to be able to compete against someone that has stolen stuff. Or if their business, the way that their business structure is, if they're willing to take 50% or 30% on volume or whatever, you won't compete if you're trying to get 100%, no matter how good of a, you know, unless it's the stolen stuff. But yeah, I definitely agree with you.
That's amazing. You know, I tell this story. This is a true story. So I get contacted a week or so ago for these particular costumes. And, you know, when you look on Amazon, they're selling for $90.
Mm-hmm.
And so they're like, we got to get these cases out of here. I got to get them out. I'm like, okay, just tell me how much you want. Well, we can negotiate. I'm like, look, I'm not negotiating. Just tell me what you want.
Mm-hmm.
Boom. $2. I'm like, I'll take them all. I didn't even know there was 141 or 142.
Yeah.
$2.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm like, okay, I'll take them all. You know, it's just so, can you imagine? This is where my mind goes. And I sit back to that poor store that paid $45 for these things.
Right.
And then how many distributors in between? And I sit back and say to myself, how does it get down to $2?
Yeah.
You know, and it just blows your mind when you sit back and think about it that way. And I think that happens a lot more than you think, you know, and you see a lot of people doing liquidation and that kind mm-hmm. of stuff. There are many large businesses built up, large businesses. I've interviewed several of them that are doing millions and millions of dollars. They're paying pennies for the item that we're all paying dollars or tens of dollars
for.
Right. And so you got to keep that in mind. And so, you, as you say, don't build credit in because that's the risk factor.
Right.
And you're risk averse at this point of your career, I say.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Okay, so what's next for Dollar Moves? What's the next goal? So there's the videos are still pumping them out.
Yeah, I'm doing one a week. I actually missed this week because, like I said, my family was in town. You know, what I'm trying to do with Dollar Moves, I have a lot at dollarmoves.com. I put most of my videos there as well. And then I wanted to make dollarmoves.com from the very beginning. It wasn't supposed to be so much FBA, but so many cool opportunities exist with FBA that it's just kind of got to that point where it's just like, it's so much FBA on there. So I wanted it to be like a one-stop shopping for people where they could go and find like all the best info products, all the best products as far as like Scotty peelers and like, you know, tape dispensers and all the things you need, you know, poly bags and all that. They're all on the website. What else, like services that people recommend and all that stuff of people that I know that are succeeding in using those services and stuff like that. And so I put all that onto Dollar Moves, and now it's to the point where it's all up there. I need to tweak it out some more on the website, but it's really that thing. It's like if someone is serious and they want to get into FBA, they want to learn how to do this stuff, there's tons of free information in the blog posts with the videos and all of that. And then there's like demos of products and things like that. Like I did behind the curtain of Jessica LaRue's ABC course and show like everything that is inside the course for, you know, so if you want to see in the members area, just things like that, that I wanted to do to just really make everything 100% for people. And then I'm also going to be doing more things about how to make money in other areas, how to save money, you know, how to negotiate different things like that. So I'll definitely,
because you take that lifestyle serious. I mean, absolutely, that's a serious thing for you. Lifestyle is important. And I, you know, I'm looking on here, holy smokes, there are just tons of books and tons of information. I mean, if somebody was looking for a book, they're all here.
Yeah.
There are pages of books, all about FBA,
right.
Very cool. FBA tools, FBA services, liquidation, retail arb, seasonal selling.
I need to
very
move
cool
stuff around and everything, but it's just, it's really, you know, it's one of those things where, because when I went and searched, I actually found Nathan Holmquist's free book. That's what led me to the Proven Amazon course. But I had to search around and look for ways to find, like, there wasn't all this information out there. And now it's like, okay, you can do so much stuff with FBA. So I want to have it all in one place to be like, all right, if you want to learn about this, go to this. If you want to learn about this, here's this, you know? And so, yeah, that's
well, it's also, I see the tools that you're using. You actually show the tools that you're using.
Yep.
Here's a scale
yep
that I've used for the last 4 years.
It's great, isn't it?
Because, yeah, because people don't know. You know, they're all like, well, wait, could I see a picture of it? Well, now you can.
Right.
You know,
and video.
And so I think that's great. That's really great. Very cool. All right, so I would say that one of your skills is your ability to take action. Would you say that that's probably your biggest skill?
Yeah, it's a pretty good one, I think. I also I don't think you can see it as much, but I do research before I take action, but I don't get analysis paralysis, but I do like to make, you know, kind of hedge my bets before I do take action. Yeah. But yeah, not afraid to take action and not intimidated easily by people, because like I said, my clientele before was all rich people, the super rich people. And so, you know, I can talk to anyone.
Well, what are you struggling with now? What causes you a little bit of agita? What causes you to say, you know, I mean, I know you already built some, you've tempered yourself mm-hmm carefully because of your experience, but what do you still get concerned about?
Well, I would say one of the biggest, like, weaknesses I have, you know, would be that I have my hands in things a little too much. There are definitely things that I could get myself out of that are not necessary for me to do. And one of the things that just happened, my brother and I decided to take that S corporation that we had for the RV industry, and we turned it into an Amazon business. So we just got it set up last month, and that took some work and everything. So what the plan is we're going to get to that warehouse level, but he's going to run it, and he's going to be the one taking care of it. So I can go travel and still do the lifestyle business, but we'll still have that warehouse thing, and it'll be through another business. So really, you know, it's kind of getting watered down, I think, would be my biggest, you know, trying to do a little bit of everything.
Well, remember your advice about the life and lifestyle business. Remember
right
that.
Absolutely.
You got to keep remembering that, because that's just a big deal.
Yeah.
I'm not going to ask you about fear, because you've done it. You've gotten past that. Give me a couple personal habits that you think really set you apart and that others could probably put into practice for themselves.
Again, like I said, you know, the action thing, taking action, being courageous enough to do that. I commend anyone that even just starts. There's tons of people out there looking, but if you, you know, have the courage to actually step off the ledge and into the unknown and see what happens, I mean, I commend anyone on that. And I hope that, you know, maybe the motivation that I give and showing that I've done this can pass on to people. I would say that that definitely talking to other people and creating relationships is huge. And hopefully that, you know, other people can do that as well. But those are definitely two things that, that I would say.
They're great advice because I love the quote, have the courage to step off the ledge and get started. And I think that's a big step, you know, just a small. And again, I'm going back to what you said, because this is going to be one of my takeaways. Just cover your car payment for the month. Yeah. That's it. That should be your target. Don't go trying to replace your income, trying to make $1 million. Cover that.
Mm-hmm.
Know that you can do it, and you'll get confidence, because that's a lot of this business, right? You get the confidence. A lot of times, I don't have to scan anything because I just know.
Right.
You know, you get to that place. But it took a long time. We've been selling a long time to get to that place. And so I love that line, and I think that's going to be one of my biggest takeaways. Okay, so the goal of the podcast is to help people move forward. So let's just – I'm going to give you a couple of your answers already, you know, getting started, really. I mean, that's really what one of the things. But I want to talk about the person that's kind of stuck. They're at that $20,000 or $30,000 a month point, probably operating by themselves. And they get to that point, and I think that that's really a ceiling for a lot of people, it seems to be. How do you get past that? What would you suggest that – give me a tip that you think that somebody could use to move past that.
Boy, you know, I would say you had asked about what kind of internet services or whatever I use, and I would say one of the biggest things that helped me the most, and maybe at that amount of money, I would think they probably are already actually using this, but I would say having a repricer, because I didn't even have one until like probably 4 months, 4 or 5 months ago. And so
don't be surprised. There are lots of people who don't.
Right.
So a repricer.
Most people are surprised I didn't.
right. Because it's one of those things that you just do it yourself. You've been doing it for yourself for so long.
Yeah.
But once you get up to a lot of SKUs, it's very difficult to manage.
Yeah.
So getting a repricer would help people because you'll start to see sales. Uh-huh. I mean, let's face it, because you're going to follow the market.
Absolutely. Yeah. And I use AppEagle, so it's repricing all the time.
That's the great algorithm. That's the strong. I'm going to put that down because I like that too.
They actually did an article on me about lifestyle business through AppEagle because I just happened to – I wasn't affiliated with them at the time or anything like that, but I was on another show and I mentioned about them and everyone's like – it kind of turned from lifestyle business to what's AppEagle? So they ended up doing an article about me on that, and so that was really neat.
All right, best way to get in touch with you. So I'm going to have the links out there for dollarmoves.com and his YouTube channel because I think that's really cool. We'd like to get him over the 10,000 mark. That's just very cool. And a million. I mean, it's just because it would be cool to have a million downloads.
Absolutely.
I mean, it's just kind of a neat little milestone for yourself. You open to being approached on Facebook on your private message?
Sure, absolutely.
Okay, I'll put that link into you. Anything else that you want to leave us with, Rob?
You know, I don't know if my biggest thing is like when I found out about being able to be an entrepreneur and how freeing, especially the FBA one, not the kind that had the warehouse or whatever that I was stuck with employees and all that, but being able to do FBA and like, I mean, I've helped grandmas do it. I've helped, you know, the old people. I've helped people that were sick that couldn't get out of their house. And like, this is something that anyone can do, and if you want to do it and you have the need to do it, this might be the hope that I needed back in the day, that I stepped off the ledge and that I took action with. And it's like, that's what juices me up, is to know that like, even if all this talk gets one person just going, dude, I know I can do this thing, then we've succeeded here. And that's really my thing. It's just like, get out there and go to the next level. Just do it.
Have the courage to step off the ledge and just get started.
Yep.
I love it. Man, I thank you so much. I'm so glad we finally were able to connect. You got to slow down a little bit for me to catch up. but you know what? Now, don't slow down. Keep it going. And very cool. And I wish you nothing but success. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Steve, for having me on. I sure appreciate it. And I'm glad that we had the chance to do this. And again, I'm deeply honored that you have me on the show. Thank you so much.
Take care.
You too.
I hope you enjoyed that as much as I did. Just a great guy. And again, you know, you can't, I think you can do this part-time to start, reinvest. You don't have to take on risk. You can really be smart about it. Let his story be a lesson. Things happen outside of your control. As I'm recording this, or after I recorded it, Walmart's taken a swing at acquiring Jet. Now, those who were heavily invested in Jet and hated Walmart are going to be like, whoa, what's going on? Do any of us believe that Walmart's going to quickly
and effectively take over leading the e-commerce company Jet? I'm not so sure. I don't think they do so well with their own. Now, do I think it could be a smart move? They bought themselves talent and they can really maximize it. It's wishful thinking. I mean, let's face it, that's a big apple to bite. But again, it's outside of your control. That's the point. These things are going to happen outside of your control. We could all be cut off of Amazon tomorrow. What do you do with your inventory, right? Have that B plan. Figure it out now. Mitigate your risk. Don't panic. Be smart about it. But it's there. ecommercemomentum.com. Thanks.
Thanks for listening to the e-commerce Momentum Podcast. All the links mentioned today can be found at ecommercemomentum.com under this episode number. Please remember to subscribe and like us on iTunes.